Galatians, the sixth chapter. And it's really there's a passage there that I want to refer to, but I'm going to use verse 10 as the key phrase, the key verse for us this morning. We have focused on this morning the importance of being part of the family of God and receiving members this morning into our fellowship here. And this morning I want to speak on the subject, the household of faith. The household of faith. And you find this phrase used in one place in Scripture. You'll find it in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter, and verse 10. And it reads, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." I have been impressed in reading through Scripture how God has embraced this idea of family and how God has used it in conveying to us His love and concern. If you stop and think for a moment, how God would communicate with us the fact that He chose to send His Son as a babe in a manger, and we're going to be celebrating that in a few weeks. But, I mean, God could have chosen something. He could have chosen an object. An object could have come out of heaven. There could have been some instructions with it. God could have chosen other ways, but God didn't do it that way. He chose to reveal Himself through a man, Christ Jesus. And you read through Scripture the importance that God places on family and family relationships. And it talks about lineage. And it talks about the seed of Abraham. And it talks about his descendants and ancestors. There's this focus on people and focus on families. The house of David. You know, this familial approach to describing his divine purposes. There's something special about that. And I've noticed that most people will respond quite readily to references to family. If you start talking about, you know, their children or whatever, they enter in. There's something about this idea of family that draws people in. We become concerned about it. And so we find also in God's Word, there are passages that deal with being a child of God, a son of God. And these very warm feelings that you get when we think of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. When you come to Christ and when you dedicate your life to God, you're not just a standalone in the kingdom. You actually become of something far greater than just you and your immediate family. It's the household of faith. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became a member of this household of faith. And with this new identity comes a call to service and a privilege standing before God. It is a privilege and a blessing to be a member of the household of faith. There are several things that we find in the passage of Galatians in this sixth chapter, if you read through. And I'd like to take us back to verse 1. In the sixth chapter of Galatians. And what I'm going to do is just move through these verses that we have, and point out several things, several aspects of being a part of the household of faith. First of all, in that first verse of the sixth chapter in Galatians, "Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted." We find that in the household of faith, there is a ministry of restoration. The world is so anxious to pounce on people when they fail. Have you noticed that? That's what makes news. They're searching, they're looking for some fault, some frailty, some weakness of character. And as soon as they find it, they'll pounce on it. And that becomes the news of the day. I'm so thankful that in the household of faith, that's not the case. At least it shouldn't be. I'm so thankful that in God's household, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I became part of the household of faith. And then in the family of God, there is this attitude, there is this spirit that we have one towards another, where instead of pouncing on people in their hour of weakness, we want to respond. There is a ministry of restoration in the household of God. And I'm thankful for that. That if I fall or if I fail, there's somebody, some kind brother or sister in the Lord who will pray for me, who will come to my aid. And you, maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you've experienced times in your life when you've had a difficulty. And it was somebody of the household of faith who came alongside and said, you know, I don't know what it is, but God's impressed in my heart. I've been praying for you. I want you to know that. I'd like to know that if something happened tragic in my life, I would have words of compassion that would come from my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not words of accusation, not words that would tear down. In the household of faith, there's restoration. You might feel like you've messed up. You might feel like you've blown it. You might feel like, is there any hope? I've messed up my life. I've made some bad decisions and bad choices. I want you to know something. Never shun the house of God. Because it's in the house of God where you can find restoration and help in your hour of need. That's a place where you're going to find people who love you, who care about you, who feel compassion toward you, and who want to raise you and lift you up. They don't want to pounce on you. They don't want to do you harm. They want to lift you up. They want to come to your aid. They want to let you know there's a God in heaven that loves you. And that they love you because there's a God in heaven who loves you. And they care about you. And they want to restore you back into that place where you ought to be with God. The household of faith is a house of compassion. I read on through this. You read verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Not only is there a ministry of restoration, there is this ministry of compassion, help, and assistance in time of need. Some of you have had in the past times when you've needed help. And it's not a matter of being restored in the sense of moral failure or something like that, but you've needed some help. And somebody in the household of faith has come along and said, you know what? I feel impressed to just help you through this time, this difficult time. And time again, God's people will do that. And we've experienced individuals who have struggled, and yet God will put it on somebody's heart. There's compassion, there's help, there's assistance in time of need. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The idea of looking at others and seeing them as people that God loves and that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You'd like to think that if you were in a desperate situation, somebody would care. Somebody would stop. Somebody would help. And God wants us to have that kind of attitude in ourselves. We live in a rather selfish society, where we want to do things for ourselves, and we're living in difficult times. The economy is very difficult. And there's a temptation for some people just to try to take care of their own and forget about the needs of others. I'm so thankful that in these difficult times that as a church we've still been able to raise money to send off to the missionaries who need financial help, and they need people to help them in their ministry overseas. And I'm so thankful there are individuals who will hear of a need, and then they'll say, you know, I want to do something to help that person. Have a heart of compassion. Ministry of restoration and a ministry of compassion, help, and assistance in time of need. And you read in verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let that each one examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load. I read this, you know, and I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? Because here it says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. And then you read down here in verse 5. Notice this. For each one shall bear his own load. You say, well, what is it? Are we supposed to bear one another's burdens? Are we supposed to bear our own? We have to understand what he's talking about here. That each one has a responsibility. God doesn't want freeloaders in his family. Let me put it that way. In other words, we're supposed to have compassion on those who truly need help. I was reading recently about the early settlers here in the Pilgrims, and some of you, I'm sure, are aware of it. And I came across an email recently that pointed this out and reminded us around Thanksgiving. The early settlers here, when they first came, they thought they were going to share everything in common and everything was going to go into a kind of a central repository, and then they would take care of different needs. They found out after a couple of years doing it, they almost starved. They almost wiped themselves out of oblivion because they found out there are people that weren't working as hard as others. They were just waiting around to get their share. While there were some that were out there and they were planting the crops and bringing in the crops and they were having enough for their family, there were others who were, they figured out, they said, hey, wait a minute, why should I do that? Because it's all going in the same place and we'll get taken care of eventually too. And after a while, it got to the point where it diminished the sense of personal responsibility. And so what it's saying is, yeah, everyone bear their own. In other words, you do your part. There is help if you're truly in desperate needs, but guess what? You need to do your part. You need to quit saying, oh, woe is me, and taking. Don't be just a taker. Be a giver. Be productive. Bear your own burden. I've reminded myself on more than one occasion, with God, all things are possible. And there are some times when I might have felt alone trying something. It would have been easy just to slough off and say, well, let me get this one or that. And then God's reminding me, hey, you go ahead and do it yourself. Just do it yourself. You know, bear your own burden. Just go ahead and trust me. And I learned that when I begin to trust the Lord, when I tackle things and learn to trust the Lord, that God helps me to get it done. See? But you got to have that attitude in your heart that I'm going to bear my own burden. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to pull my weight, so to speak. There's compassion and help, yes, but there's also an environment that enables us to lead responsible lives. I believe that's what it's getting at here. The Bible is so truthful. It's not just giving to everybody, anywhere, at all times. That's not what it's all. There's also information here about leading responsible lives. Pulling your own weight. Bearing your own burden. Getting the job done. Trusting God to help you. That's part of the scripture too. And we have some people who gloss over some of these things, and they look to those other places where it talks about helping people in need, and then they just expect, well, I'm just going to sit back and let people, I'm going to let other people take care of me. I'm going to let other people do this and whatever. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to be responsible in your daily living. There are times when you might have a definite, legitimate need, and you can be assured there are Christian brethren that are going to come alongside and help you. But God expects of you and of me that we're to do our best to maintain our lives in such a way to live a life that is respectful of the needs of others, but also one that realizes that we have a job to do, we've got our own task, and we need to be diligent in seeing that it's accomplished. I don't know what that is for you. You know, and God knows. But you need to understand that God expects responsibility on the part of his children. You need to be responsible people. God wants that for each one of us. And so there's that environment that enables us to lead responsible lives in God's family. Also, if you go on to read in verse 6, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. There's provision for those who teach and disciple others. So those who teach and disciple others, you say, you know, they got to be taken care of. And so who does that? God's people, they participate and take care of the needs of those who are involved in the teaching and preaching of the word and helping others and discipling others. And that's something that's a scriptural thing. That's something that God has laid down as a guideline. And you go on, and by the way, you have to see these are recommendations, these are teachings, these are principles that are being laid down for the household of faith. how does a household of faith operate? How do they get things done? How is Christ glorified? And so these are principles that the apostle is laying down here. And it goes on to say in verse 7 and 8 and 9, notice this. And this puts in here, it really touches on something I've just said, and that is, we find in the household of faith the law of sowing and reaping, the promise of blessing for those who are faithfully working for God. In verses 7 through 9, notice, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And so God uses an agricultural description here of the sowing and reaping, the planting and the reaping. Yet if you're going to plant into the ground, eventually you expect a harvest to come. And God says that's what's going on in your life. That each day you live, it's as if you're sowing, you're planting something that's going to come forth in the future. And it says, if you sow to the flesh, what does that mean? If you plant to the flesh, in other words, if you're taking care of just fleshly and carnal desires and needs all the time, giving no thought to spiritual things, what does God want? What does the household of faith need? What is the intention of the service that God has called me to? How do I fulfill it? If you don't give any heed to what the spiritual call is upon your life, and you're just sowing to the flesh, and you're doing things that are carnal in nature, they're just taking care of your own needs, and you're buying this, buying that, the new car, whatever, you're investing in this and that, and there's nothing wrong with some of these things, but if that's the only place where you are, psychologically, just taking care of those, and you're not giving heed to what the call of God is, the greater plan, and the work of the Lord, and the needs of the household of faith, if you're not giving any heed to those things, then it says right here, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is, whatever you're planting in your life, you're going to reap it somewhere down the line. You're going to reap it somewhere down the line. And if you live to self, the day will come, and you'll realize that that's all you're going to have. And your circumstances, they'll just be a result of what you've done. You've given no heed to spiritual things, but you won't have anything that you can show the master and say, this is what I've done for the kingdom of God. This is what I've done for your work. This is what I've done for the call that you've placed in my life. This is how I've said thank you to Christ for saving me, redeeming me. This is what I've done with my life. See, God's invested in your life. And he expects then that you're going to pay back. You're going to invest something now in his kingdom. You're going to invest something now in the work of the Lord. You're going to invest something now in the household of faith. You're going to do those things. And if you will do that, God will then pay back rich dividends, spiritual dividends to you for doing that. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then it says this, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And over the years I've seen many who have stopped doing good for the Lord. It always pains me to hear reports of people who at one time were actively involved in the work of the Lord among the household of faith, and they were a part of a church, they were part of a fellowship, they were working for Christ, and then for whatever reason, and there's all kinds of excuses that are given, they've slipped back and they lost that same fervor in serving God, and they lost their first love for God. It's gone, and they've gone back into the world, and I feel sad for that individual. I feel bad for them that they don't really even realize what they're sacrificing. They don't realize it. The scripture says that we are not to grow weary in well-doing, that in due season we will reap. We'll reap a harvest. It's going to happen. It's going to happen if we're faithful to God's call. And this is what I encourage Christians over the years. And people, if you've just recently come to know the Lord as your Savior, I'm going to tell you this. There are times when you're going to feel the presence of Christ in your life, the presence of God, and you're going to say it's glorious. I don't ever want it to stop. But there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to be challenged. And what do you do in those times? What do you do in those times when all of a sudden you don't feel the presence of God? You don't even know if he's there. What do you do in those times when you're prone to question all that? You know what you do? You get back into the Word, and by faith you say, I don't care. I'm not saved by my feelings. I'm not saved because of what I think God did or didn't do or would not do for me or what how he's blessed me. I am saved because the Word of God says if I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, I am saved. I'm redeemed. I put my faith in the Word of God. I am not saved by my feelings. I'm not saved by what someone else is telling me. And I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to press on. And I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to keep doing what God wants me to do until either I die and I'm resurrected on the great resurrection morning, or Jesus comes while I'm alive and I'm caught up to meet with him in the air. But regardless, I'm going to be faithful to the call of God in my life regardless. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up just because things haven't gone your way or the way you think they should have gone. Don't give up just because you think, well, man, you've been dealt a terrible hand in life and the things that have happened to you. I've heard people, and all they have is a pity party, and that's where they're stuck. And unfortunately, they haven't progressed at all, and they've lost hope. They've lost their faith. You put your trust and confidence in God and keep doing what you know you ought to be doing. And realize that God loves you. And we are saved not by our feelings. We're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him. And put your faith not in a feeling. Put your faith in God. In God. I'm saved not because I feel like it. There are going to be some mornings you're going to get up and you're not going to feel saved. And so if your salvation hinges only on your feelings, then you're in trouble. Because I guarantee there's going to be some morning you're going to get up and you're not going to feel saved. But that doesn't mean you're not saved. I'm not saved by my feelings. I'm saved because the Word of God tells me I put my faith and trust in him, and that there's going to come a day, a resurrection morn, and if I'm dead and buried in the ground, this body's going to all of a sudden be energized by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. The Bible says that. And that's why I'm saved. That's what I put my confidence in. I don't put it in the words of man. I don't put it in feelings. I put it in what God has said. And be not weary in well-doing. You're going to reap. If you don't fall by the wayside, and if you press on and continue to believe God and do those things you know are right, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. It's going to happen, my friend. It'll happen. God does not lie. The Word of God does not lie. I'm not telling you this. The Word of God is telling you this. And God stands on his Word. He will not lie. And he says that if you will press on and you'll continue to serve God, you're going to reap a harvest of blessing. That's his Word. We need people, instead of just turning aside, some adversity comes their way and then they get mad at God, or they get mad at God's people, or they get mad at others, they get mad at family, who knows. They just pin the blame on someone else all the time, and they don't realize they need to just believe and trust God. Just keep pressing on. That's how the household of faith becomes stronger. We encourage one another, and there is a blessing that you will reap if you faint not, if you don't grow weary. And finally, it says in verse 10 of this sixth chapter, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Blessing of being a part of the household of faith. You see, this is a summary verse. You find it in verse 10, but it's a summary verse of what has been given in the verses that have preceded it. From 1 on down through verse 9, it says, so finally we have this opportunity to do, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, there's a call here in the household of faith, a call to live a life of service to others, especially those who are of the household of faith. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you ever get down, if you ever feel a little depressed, if you ever feel a little weary in your walk with God, you know what you ought to do? You go find something to do for somebody else. You go lift somebody else up. Go find somebody who's in a desperate situation or somebody who's discouraged. And you go and you encourage them and you minister to them. Go witness to them. Somebody who you know isn't saved. Somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And you begin to share with them what Jesus means to you. And you begin to share your faith. And you lift them up. And as you lift them up, the Holy Spirit will lift you right up out of your depression. You won't even know it existed. And we need more people that'll do that. You don't need to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or someone else. More people, what they need is, it's funny, you hear all these people and they say they have a shrink or somebody to go to. I don't have a shrink. I go to the Lord. And I know some people have mental problems, and sometimes there may be a certain level of expertise that's needed in the medical realm. So I'm not downing all that. But what I'm saying is too many people, it's a cop-out. They'll go to someone else to try to have them solve their problems when Jesus is calling you to solve your own problem. In the prayer closet, in the prayer room, in a time of prayer between you and God. God wants to solve your problem. He wants to solve your psychological problem. We have too many that kind of pride themselves, you know, on going to this one or that one, and this counselor or that counselor. Listen, you go to Jesus. He's the best counselor you'll ever get. A lot of what you're putting up with in your life, you just need to get alone with God. That's what you need. You need to get on your knees. You need to spend some time in prayer. You need to ask the Lord. Ask of the Lord. He says, call upon me and I will answer. God said that. Call upon me and I will answer. But it starts with you calling on God. That's where it starts. Don't think God's just going to call out to you just for no reason at all. He's waiting on you to call upon him. But if you'll do that, the promise is that he will answer. He will answer. So in the household of faith, there's a call to live a life of service to others, especially those who are of the household of faith. So many blessings of being a part of the family of God. You're a privileged people, every one of you sitting here this morning. You know Christ is your personal Savior. You're a part of the household of faith. And you're a privileged person. The tragedy is there are so many people that are privileged and they don't even know it. And they don't take advantage of their position in Christ. And they don't go to the Lord. They don't take the needs of their life and bring them to the Lord in prayer and believe and by faith trust God and just press on. God is looking for individuals who will believe his word, who will not listen to the voice of the enemy. There are some people, hear me this morning, and I believe this is for somebody here today, and hear me out. There are some people that you have some friends, and the enemy uses them to keep you from getting close to God. I don't know who it's for, but hear me this morning. There's somebody here this morning needs to hear that. You have some friends, and they're keeping you from God. You're listening to the voice of your friends, and they're keeping you from getting close to God. You need to listen for the voice of the Lord. You need to hear the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, all of a sudden, the mouths of others will be stopped. And you'll be able to get the answer you're seeking. So hear me this morning. Somebody needs to know that. Don't listen to others who are going to tear you down and bring you down and bring question in your life. You hear what God is saying. And God will lift you up. And God will bring deliverance if you need deliverance. And God will bring joy if you need joy. Hear me this morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Word of God says that what you need is a good dose of the joy of Christ in your life. And when you have his joy in your heart, nothing will defeat you. Get close to the Master. Get in the presence of God. Get into a place where you can hear the voice of God. Get into a place where you can hear the Word of God. Get into a place where God can touch your heart. Don't listen to the naysayers and those who are trying to pull you down. Get away from those so-called friends who are giving you bad advice. It's causing distress in your soul and in your heart. And you're going feeling feelings of depression. Get away from that and get in the presence of the Lord. Find yourself in a place in the household of faith where God can do something special in your life. God can build character in your life. God can bless you beyond measure. Find that place. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to be. There's nothing quite like it, the household of faith. It's the greatest household there is on earth. It's the greatest family that there is. Don't allow yourself to be drawn aside. Don't allow yourself to be plucked out of that sacred circle of faith and hope and life. You press in and get close to Jesus. Don't allow yourself to be in an environment that will plague your soul. You put yourself in an environment that's going to feed your soul. you put yourself in an environment where God can speak to you, and you'll know it's the voice of the Spirit. You'll know it's not just somebody telling you something, because you'll feel the presence of Jesus. You'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Put yourself in that place where your soul can be fed, not where it'll be distressed. You'll find it in the household of faith. Bow your heads in prayer with me, if you will. Somebody this morning needs a closer walk. Somebody needs the healing touch of Jesus. Somebody needs to feel his presence. Somebody needs to be at an altar of prayer and commitment. Somebody. We find ourselves here this morning in a place where God can speak to us. And I ask you, what will your answer be? Will you come to the feet of Jesus and lay all those burdens and cares at his feet? Will you find restoration and help in the family of God? Or will you leave with your burdens and your heartache and your sorrows, only to face another week where forces are out there trying to keep you from being who you ought to be and pursuing those godly things that God wants you to pursue? In these closing moments, if you feel like you need to be at an altar, maybe God's been speaking to you today. And there's no better place to be than at an altar where you kind of seal the deal, so to speak. It's where God's speaking to you and saying, listen, I want you to hear this. I've got something for you. And he's speaking to your heart. And you need to just spend a little time and say, God, I hear what you're saying. And God, I'm going to listen and obey. You need to find it. You need to find it at an altar. That's where you find it, at the altar. And some of you want to be at this altar, so in the next few moments, don't hesitate. If you feel this is where you need to be, this is where you want to get relief, this is where you want to get a release from the things that you're facing, it's in the presence of the Lord. You come right now to the altar, and you say, God, here I am, and I commit myself to be what you want me to be and to do what you want me to do. And I will not listen to the voices of the world and the voices of others. At an altar, that's where I'm going to find my peace. I come to the altar, Lord, for the answer. And I'm here to listen, to say yes to whatever your will is. You come right now. Don't hesitate. Get up out of your seat and come. God's speaking to your heart. You come right now. Don't hesitate. Just come. Come to the altar. God's here at the altar this morning. The Holy Spirit is here at the altar of the Lord. And you have a need. You're going to meet with Jesus. And God's going to do something for you, my friend. But you take that step and you come. And you have faith to believe that when you come, you're going to pour out your heart to God. And as you pour out your heart to God, God's going to pour out his blessing from heaven. And God's going to do something for you today at the altar. That's where it's going to happen. That's where it's going to happen. You come. Don't hesitate. We close in prayer today. You must leave, but there are others who may want to spend some time here at this altar. We're going to allow God to do something here at the altar this morning, because God is moving in hearts, and God wants to let somebody know that he loves them. God wants to let somebody know that he cares about them. You're here today, you say, I don't know where God's been. I've wondered where he's been. But God is saying to you, I love you, and I have a plan for you. If you'll just submit your life to me, God's talking to you right now, and he's impressing upon your heart, and he's urging you to go to the altar. You come. God has something special for you. Don't say no to the Lord. We're going to close in prayer in this place. If you feel you must leave, you may go after the benediction, I pray. And please go quietly if you go, because people are meeting with the Lord here this morning. And we're going to linger around these altars until some things are taken care of. God's doing something in people's lives, and God wants to do even more. We're going to let Him do it. Jesus, we thank You for this day, and Your blessing is here. For those who must leave, I pray Your blessing upon them, and help them to be fruitful in the vineyard of the Lord. And may they never choose to separate themselves from the household of faith, but may they continue in the path that You've chosen for them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. I'm going to be praying with those here at the front. If you want to remain and pray, I encourage you to do so. Otherwise, be blessed as you leave, and remember the announcements of the day. You come if you feel you need to be here.
So I praise You, Lord, for giving me